UBVC. I am glad that you are here, whether you're live or whether you're joining us as part of our online community. Welcome. We are glad that you are with us. My name is Marty. I am one of the pastors here. I also happen to be serving currently as the campus pastor at the Reveal campus. And I cannot tell you how excited I am to be here with you this morning. I've not slept in 3 days. All right, I am hopped up on Red Bull and Skittles right now. So something good is about to happen. So glad that you are joining us. Listen, we recognize that there are a lot of places that you could be. There are a lot of things you could be doing right now. But I am confident that God will reward you and meet with you because of your pursuit of Him today. James 4:8 says that when we draw near to God, that He will draw near to us, right, in His faithfulness. And I'm confident that the Holy Spirit will meet with you today. So let me just give you some encouragement. Be listening for what God is speaking to you today. All right, just kind of push everything aside, and we're going to just take a moment and just listen. All right, listen naturally, listen supernaturally. How might God be speaking to you today? Invite the Holy Spirit into your space. And by space, I mean your circumstances, right? Your season of life, whatever that looks like for you. Invite God into that space, and then be prepared to listen and watch and see what He will do among us this morning. So let's pray. Let's have the ushers come forward, please. Lord, today, as in every day, we're just declaring our dependence upon You. And so my prayer is that You would meet with each person here today, whether live or online, that You would meet with each person, enter into our space, into our needs, into our circumstances, into our frustrations, and would You give us what is needed? To the one that needs encouragement, would You give encouragement? To the one that needs hope, give hope. To the one that needs wisdom, bring wisdom. To the one who just feels like they blew it and need forgiveness, lavish forgiveness upon them. For the one who feels distant and maybe unlovable, would You break through? And would You pour out Your love upon them? Lord, we are reminded that we can do more together than we could ever do apart, and that includes when we collectively come together, united even in our offering, that we can accomplish more in our community and more around the world together than we ever could apart. And so would You bless the offering and that which is given, that we would be able to further the kingdom message here locally, but around the world as well, we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, the older I get, the more I am reminded that very few things in life have what we will call staying power. Staying power is the ability to maintain, staying power to endure, staying power to sustain without impairment or loss. Think about it. Empires that were once at the pinnacle of civilization lack staying power and now leave behind only clues to their existence. Like the Sumerians of modern-day Iraq, inventors of the wheel and the oldest writing system in the world lack staying power. The Roman Empire, which at its peak stretched more than 1.6 million square miles, lacked staying power. Once thriving American businesses lacked staying power and closed their doors, Borders Books. Remember Radio Shack? I loved Radio Shack. Kodak, but my all-time favorite, Blockbuster Video. Remember that? Hey, if you were going to have a good Friday night, it always involved getting in your car and driving to a store to get a video. Some of you young people, you don't get it. You actually had to drive somewhere and then manually search through hundreds of videos and then fight for the last video that was on the wall. And if you were lucky enough to get it, by the time you got home, you popped it in this thing called a VCR. You can Google that. just to have the movie ruined because it started with the ending, because the jack wagon before you that rented it didn't pay attention to the sticker on the tape that said, "Be kind, rewind." Now, see, some of you, you know my struggle. Entire species have gone extinct, have lacked staying power. Your sports team may be at the top today, but one day you will wake up to a 4-13 record with a questionable quarterback. Yeah, I'm speaking to the Arizona Cardinals. Right? They lack staying power. The fruit on your counter, it looks good now, but just give it some time. It lacks staying power. And perhaps the most frustrating is my 21-year-old body. It lacks staying power, as did my 31-year-old body and my 41-year-old body. Some of you feel the pain. We'll call this the universal law of decay, the idea that nothing stays as fresh as the day you bought it. The house never stays as clean as the day that you cleaned it. Right? We know that any closed system will always move from a state of order to a state of disorder. Right? We know this to be true. It's why your coffee gets cold. It's why ice melts. It's why your cell phone battery loses a charge. It's why a clean room gets dirty. And unless there is an outside source introduced, a system will always degrade into more disorder over time. So why are we overwhelmed with the never-ending bombardment that is life and life's problems? Why does life sometimes seem so hard and complicated? Well, the answer is because all things naturally slide toward disorder and chaos. Just think of it. All things naturally slide toward disorder and chaos. And if you don't believe me, just don't do yard work for the rest of the year. And then see which way it naturally slides. Don't clean your house for the rest of the year. See which way it slides. Don't discipline your children for the rest of the year. You will see chaos and disorder right before your eyes. Now, there's an important principle here. We must expend energy and effort to create stability and structure. In other words, this is important. If you just kind of pick up your feet and if you go with the flow will dump you somewhere you don't want to go. We all have stories like that, right, at some point in life. Because the natural drift is always towards chaos. It's always toward disorder. If you just pick up your feet and let the current take you, the flow will dump you somewhere you don't want to go because the flow don't know. And so it takes effort. A successful relationship, you know this. It takes energy. It takes effort because the natural drift is always toward instability. A clean house requires energy and effort because the natural drift is always toward disorder. And the more children, the greater the disorder. Your vehicle requires effort and maintenance to counter the natural slide toward deterioration and decay. Good health requires effort and energy, and even then, eventually you will lose the fight because we naturally lack staying power. Now, I get it. If you're under 30, you're like, I don't get that part, right? Because you feel invincible right now. But I'm telling you, that one day you will go to bed feeling good and you will wake up with a sprained ankle. And science can't explain it, but somehow you will sprain something in your sleep. Mark my words, right? It will happen. All things naturally slide toward disorder and chaos, but it gets worse because we also have spiritual forces, not just natural forces working against us, but there are spiritual forces working against us that try to draw us and pull us into sin and dysfunction and confusion and greater disorder. See, spiritually, my natural drift is never toward godliness and righteousness. It's why I don't have to practice to be a good sinner. My natural drift always takes me that way. All I need to do to be a good sinner is just pick up my feet and go with the flow. Right? That my natural drift is always away from the things of God. And I'm guessing that yours is the same. This is why we must invest in something that counters the natural and spiritual forces that are working against us. Listen to Hosea 11. This is God speaking. He said, my people are bent on turning away from me. Now notice, God isn't just saying that my people turn away. He's saying my people are bent to turn away, that they have a proclivity to drift the other direction. That's my story. That's your story. All things naturally slide toward disorder and decay. So where does that leave us this morning as Jesus followers? Is there anything constant? Is there anything that possesses staying power that we can invest in? Something that transcends pandemics and stock markets and job loss and relationship issues? Is there anything that pays dividend in this life and in the life to come? Let's look at what Scripture has to tell us about this topic. The Apostle Paul points to three things that have staying power. 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. Look, nothing remains constant, even our thoughts, right? Our ideologies change. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And here's the passage we're going to rest on today. And now these three remain, or we could say these three have staying power: faith, hope, and love. If you want to invest in something that will stand the test of time, if you want to invest in something that is unshakable, faith, hope, and love remain. Now here Paul reminds us that even much of what we give ourselves to in the church, right, if you read the passage before this, even some of what we hold in high esteem, Paul says, eventually the universal law of decay will affect them too. They will be no more. But Paul says, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. John chapter 10, Jesus says that there are two voices that are competing for our attention. The one voice, he says, is his. And he calls us unto himself for a purpose. And that purpose is that he wants to bless us. He wants to give us what he calls an abundant life. Look at John 10:10. I have come that they, you, may have life and have it to the full. Other translations say that you may have an abundant life, which is what every person on the planet is looking for. I don't need to know anything about you today. It could be your first time, or you could be here for the last 25 years. We share this in common. We're all looking for life. We're all looking for life that is greater than just existing. We're looking for something that goes beyond the exchange of oxygen. We're looking for a life that has weight and meaning, something greater than just rinse and repeat the mundane routines of life. We may define it in different ways, but we're all looking for life. And Jesus says, I am offering you the very thing that you're looking for: abundant life. What do you think the ingredients are that make up this abundant life? What does that look like? Because we know it's not more stuff, right? Because we know people that have a lot of stuff and they're still miserable. We know it's not a nicer house or a nicer car. So we know stuff isn't the abundant life. Does the abundant life require the removal of trials and difficulties? Well, Jesus in John 16:33, he tells us, in this world you will have trouble. So we know it's not the absence of negative circumstances. So what are the elements that make up? What are the elements that are needed for life in the full, to the full, an abundant life? Well, let me just ask you this and answer this yourself. Regardless of the season of life that you find yourself in currently, would a radical infusion of faith at this moment, would it move you towards a more abundant life? Regardless of the season of life that you're in, would an abundance of hope infused upon you at this moment, would it change your outlook on life? Would an abundance of hope allow you to go to bed peaceful? Would it allow you to wake up peaceful instead of those early pillow-borne voices that are nagging at you constantly the moment you climb out of bed? If you were overflowing with love at this moment, love that is for you, love that is for others, would it move the satisfaction needle in life? Of course it would. Of course it would. Because it's not possible to have this abundant life that Jesus speaks of without these, the key three, without faith, without hope, and without love. Now, remember, Jesus said there are two voices that are competing for our attention. There is another voice that is also calling out to us. And the goal behind this voice is simple, and it's found on the front half of the verse we just read. Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Understand something important. The very thing that Jesus is trying to put into you is what your enemy is trying to get out of you, right? This means that faith, hope, and love that Jesus is trying to get into you is the very thing your spiritual adversary at this moment is trying to get out of you. Now, I need you to wake up. If you've already fallen asleep, now's a good time to check back in. You can sleep in about 8 minutes. You need to understand something critical. Ultimately, Satan is not coming for your job. He has no interest in your bank account. He has no interest in your finances. He's not coming for your job. He's coming for your faith. Ultimately, he's not coming for your health. He's coming for your hope. He's not coming for your marriage just to add you to a divorce statistic. He's coming for your love. See, and you thought, I thought early on, he's just after my stuff. I'd ask, you know, when I was younger, pray for this relationship. Pray for job security, right? Pray for this, pray for that. Not once did I ask someone, hey, why don't you pray that my faith remains vibrant? Pray that my hope stays engaged. Pray that love is overflowing. See, my concern is that the circumstances that you find yourself in today, you may be fighting the wrong battle on the wrong front. You think it's over your job. It's bigger than that. It's much bigger than that. Because if he can steal your faith, he's going to steal your future. If he can rob you of hope, you will tap out when things get too difficult. If he can get you to stop believing in the power of love, eventually you will become part of the problem. Job loss, relationship issues, financial hardship, health problems. It's just the avenue he uses to get to what really matters. Faith, hope, and love. Listen, this means that we must protect what matters most. Now, it's amazing to me, we live in a culture that will go to extremes to protect everything except that which really matters. Like, we'll put on SPF 90 to walk to the mailbox because we have to protect the skin. We'll guard our health from the intake of gluten, but we'll leave hope unprotected. We'll leave faith exposed. We'll go to extremes for our children with things like car seats, which are good. But according to the latest height requirement, my wife should still be in a car seat, which I would pay to see, just to be honest with you. Right? We will go to extremes to protect everything that matters. We leave love unprotected. Faith, hope, and love, these three, in a world of disorder, in a world of chaos, these three remain. Let's talk about your faith this morning. Luke records a conversation between Jesus and Peter, and it reveals this sobering truth. Luke 22, verse 31, Simon, Simon, Jesus said, which is Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Now, there are a lot of things you never want to hear Jesus say to you, and this is probably at the top of the list. Now, if I'm Peter, I have some questions, right? Because this is highlighting a dynamic that is taking place in a spiritual realm that is unseen to us. That in some way that I don't fully understand, Satan goes before Jesus and goes before God and asks, Let me at your boy. Piece by piece, I'll take him apart. Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. And if I'm Peter, my next question is, and what did you tell him? That would be a pretty good follow-up question, right? And here's what Jesus says. But I have prayed for you. I hate to not sound spiritual, but I'd be like, you prayed for me. I appreciate the prayers, but how about next time you just say no? How about that? That works. No is a good word. How about just say no? Now remember, this conversation occurred before Peter denied Jesus three times. And it's interesting that Jesus did not pray that Peter avoids the faith crisis or the trial. Jesus knew that Peter's faith would stumble. He even predicted it. Understand that the issue was less about Peter's temporary setback and more about his permanent loss of faith. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And he's saying, I already know you're going to mess up. I already told you that. I already know you're going to stumble. But I'm praying that the core of your faith will remain through the trial that's about to slap you upside the head. Because if you completely lose faith, you will have nothing to bring you back. You will have nothing to spark the transformation that needs to take place in you. Peter, life's about to get difficult, but I have prayed for what matters most, that your faith may remain active. See, faith is your staying power. Invisible, but it's ever present. Understand, when the enemy comes, he's not coming for that which can hurt you. He's coming for that which can ultimately destroy you. And he knows that if he can hit you hard enough and hit you long enough, that you might just exit the faith arena and then utter the words that I've heard far too many times in 30 years of ministry when someone says, I tried God. He didn't work for me. Which really what we mean is, I tried God, but my faith lacks staying power. My faith lacks staying power. How's your faith today? How's your faith today? Is your faith under assault? Maybe your hand is on the doorknob of faith and you're ready to exit. Maybe this was your last prayer that you threw up and said, God, if you don't show me something, I'm out. How's your faith today? Let me be real with you. Life will not slow down. Life will continue to move towards disorder and chaos. It just is what life is. It will continue to come at you. Forces, both natural and spiritual, will continue to pull you toward chaos and disorder. And you may not want to hear this, but you will not win at everything in life. You will lose some friends, and you will lose jobs, and you will lose promotions and strength and money, and eventually you're even going to lose your health. Our challenge then is to not allow anything we lose to destroy what remains. Faith, hope, and love. See, there are a lot of things the enemy can have influence in. And many of those things I don't have any control over. There's a lot of ways that the enemy can come against me, and a lot of things that he can try to take from me. But listen, if the enemy or any person is coming for my faith, I'm going to fight you for it. Like, I'm not just going to roll over and let this one go. And I may be fighting tired, I may be exhausted, I may be throwing haymakers in the wind, but I will keep fighting. Some of us need to make that declaration today, that the enemy can't have it, bankruptcy can't claim it, the ex-lover will never steal it, the boss can't possess it, the courts don't own it, and the doctors can't have it. If you're coming for me, if you're coming for the big three, I'm going to fight you for it. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. Let's talk about hope, like what Paul said to the church of Corinth. He said, 1 Corinthians 15, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Meaning, if our hope only applies to this life, then we're in trouble. But what Paul is saying is, even in this world that drifts towards disorder, even in this world that drifts towards chaos, he says we still have hope. Because this life is not our only life. Because there is another life to come. Hebrews 6 speaks about the unchanging faithfulness of God, the unchanging promises of God, and it builds this idea off of the character of Abraham, who was given a promise to become the father of a nation, and the promise seemed impossible because he was way too old, as was his wife. And the author of Hebrews begins to build off of that and says, but eventually God's promise shows true. God does what he always does. He remains faithful. And then off of this idea, out of the confidence in God's provision, the author writes this, so good. Hebrews 6, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. The promises and faithfulness of God, we have this hope. Hey, if you're struggling with hope right now, just allow the Holy Spirit to speak this over you. Maybe you get some imagery. Maybe he speaks to you through a picture in your mind's eye. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Do you know why I need an anchor? Because of my potential to drift. And even the calmest waters, we're drifting one direction or another. It's because of my propensity to drift. It's why you need an anchor. Hope puts your soul on a leash and will only allow you to drift so far. That this idea that I may be anxious, but I will only drift so far. I may be dismayed, but I will only drift so far before hope snaps me back. My mind may be captured by the what ifs, and what if this happens, and what if that happens, but I can only go so far because hope is an anchor for my soul, and before I get too far out, hope pulls me back. Take a breath. Invite the Holy Spirit to rekindle hope in you today. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to rekindle hope. Let's talk about love as we begin to wrap this up. John 13, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And it sounds so simple, but it's not all that simple. It's not all that simple. I mean, think of it. Why do we even need love anyways? It just makes us do things we normally wouldn't do and go places we normally wouldn't go and buy things we normally wouldn't buy and probably things we can't afford. You would think that we would have grown out of our need for love, and yet here we are at 2023 and our soul still craves to love and to be loved. Look at our passage. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Can I ask you something? Be honest with yourself. Have you given up on love? Have you justified hate? Have you justified anger and bitterness? You see, it is difficult to love people today. That's one of the negative side effects of social media. I think we were better off before either one of us knew what the other person was thinking. Right now I see your opinions and I'm like, I don't like your opinions, and suddenly you're harder to love. Have you given up on love? Have you justified hate and anger? Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied, love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, there are a lot of problems in the world today, and while this may sound trite, I still believe that love is the answer. I still believe that love is the answer. 1 Peter 4, 8, above all, love each other deeply. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers a multitude of dysfunction. Love covers a multitude of chaos. And what the world needs today is for Jesus followers to plant our flag of love into the soil of hate. and proclaim that any ideology that puts me against you, or any system that elevates one person at the expense of another based on ethnicity or education or social status or religion or political party or whatever side of the border they were born on, any philosophy that puts you against me as the enemy, then that is a system that we will tear down, because in the end, we believe that love wins. When we are loving as we are supposed to love, we help make sense of the world, a world that's drifting towards disorder and chaos. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Listen, church, protect what matters. Protect what matters. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all, above everything else, guard your heart, which directs your life. Now, we often think of guard your heart to mean guard what's getting in, and that's true. But what about guarding what's getting out? Are you leaking faith today? Have you given up on hope? Have you given up on love? I've been praying all week that the Holy Spirit would illuminate something very specific to us, and that is this idea that maybe, just maybe, you've been fighting the wrong battle on the wrong front. Because here you think that the battle is over your stuff, over your job, over your relationship, over this person or that person, but it's bigger than that. The battle is over your faith. The battle is over your hope, and the battle is over your love. So I just want to close today as we worship. I just want to speak Jesus over you. I want to speak Jesus into you. I want to speak Jesus over your faith. I want to speak Jesus into your hope. I want to speak the resurrection power of Jesus to rekindle love. I want to speak the name that is above all names, every rule, every power, every authority. I want to just speak the name of Jesus over your circumstances and over your trials and over your hurt and over your disappointment. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over you. May I have the minister team come forward. Listen, as we worship, when you feel ready, and you can stand or you can be seated, I'm going to ask that you would do something bold. If your faith is depleted, if you're low on hope, or if you've abandoned love, then I'm going to ask that you would come down and you would allow someone to speak Jesus into that area. Ministry team, ask what area they're struggling with. It may be all three. And just agree with them that the resurrection power of Jesus would rekindle faith, hope, and love. What I love is that his resurrection is our resurrection, right? We're coming into Easter, that he still resurrects dead things, including faith, hope, and love. Holy Spirit, move among us as we worship. Move among us as we seek you. Move among us and build faith, hope, and love. Be bold, church. Some of you, you may want to stand. Some of you may want to be seated. Some of you may want to make your way to the altar. Some of you, you may just need to come up and allow someone to agree with you in prayer.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Let's sing that again in full voice. Shout Jesus from the mountains.
I speak Jesus. I speak Jesus over your circumstances, Jesus over your doubt, Jesus into your pain, into your anxiety. I speak Jesus into your frustration. I speak Jesus into your church. If you're seated, will you stand? Father, my prayer is that this week we would begin to protect what matters most. And for some of us, we've been fighting the wrong battle on the wrong front, and today is kind of a wake-up call that the enemy's been siphoning off our faith and our hope and our love. And today, our eyes are open, our hearts are illuminated, our spirits are alive. May the Holy Spirit empower you today and this week to fight the good fight, to stand for your faith, to sow into love, to rekindle hope. May the Holy Spirit just be thick upon you now and this week, where everywhere you turn, you just sense Him rekindling the key three. And with no one in this room, no one who hears this message, no one in our online community, may it be, Lord, that we lose no one, that no one exits the faith arena. But faith remains vibrant, strong, and intact. For I know that you are praying for us, even at this moment, that our faith does not fail. I bless you, VC. I bless you this week, and may the face of God shine upon you. God bless you.